Ok, we shall continue, eh? From where we stop, eh? Hot Sutta, page 59, part 3.
Part 3, Meditation. Email number 4, Three Turnings and 12 Modes are the Four Noble Truths. 3.1. The Three Turnings and the Three Types of Prajna as explained by Master Xuan Hua. The Three Types of Prajna or Wisdom as explained by Master Xuan Hua are similar to those of the Three Turnings of the Four Noble Truths. Wisdom, as explained by the Buddha under the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, or his first sermon, and they are one. First turning, proclaiming the truth as spoken by the Buddha, leading to Sutta-maya Panya, wisdom born of hearing the Sutta, or discourse of the Buddha. Master Xuanhua calls it prajna of language. Two, second turning, reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the truth as proclaimed by the Buddha, leading to Cittamaya Panya, wisdom born of constant contemplations, inquiry, and reflection on the truth, as proclaimed by the Buddha. Master Xuanhua calls it the prajna of contemplative illumination. Three, third turning, meditative training leading to Bhavanamaya Panya, wisdom born of the meditative training as taught by the Buddha. Master Xuanhua calls it the prajna of characteristic of actuality or ultimate wisdom. 10 Heart Sutra class and meditation class by Brother Teo Kiang Kun at Wu Ping Ching Se on 22nd April 2012. Short notes taken to assist in developing a clearer and better understanding of the sutta discussed. Part 1, recapitulation and emphasis on the previous lesson. 1.1. Brother Teo's reminder on heedfulness. Brother Teo reminded us not to be heedless anymore, but instead strive on with heedfulness and diligence, making use of this great window of opportunity to cultivate and to gain liberation from birth and death when the Buddha's sasana or his dispensation is still around. This is because, according to the Buddha, it is very difficult to be born as a human being, jensen nante, and even more rare and difficult is to be born during the era of the Buddha's sasana and to encounter the Buddha Dhamma, bofa nanwen. So, do follow the advice of the Buddha to strive on with heedfulness and do not be heedless anymore, for this great window of opportunity is indeed very, very, very rare. So please do not be complacent. To let it slip away for you will truly regret how foolish you were if you were to let it slip by. The earliest Heart Sutra short notes that emphasize the following important basic essential teachings of the Buddha are more than enough to help you all develop your cultivation. One, importance of cultivating the five spiritual faculties. Two, importance of having right views with regards to the law of karma to follow the advice of the Buddha, Dhammapada, verse 183. Three, importance of cultivating heedfulness. Four, importance of understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha and the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, especially its second turning. That is to constantly investigate the Dhamma via the second turning of the Four Noble Truths, to develop your own understanding via Cittamaya Panya, wisdom born of the second turnings, to develop this Cittamaya Panya, one needs to carry out constant inquiry, reflections, and contemplations on the Buddha Dhamma or Noble Truth as proclaimed by the Buddha, and not just via believing what the Buddha had said. Sorry. Not just via believing what the Buddha said and then committing them to memory and storing this so-called Dhamma up as knowledge. For the true Dhamma and wisdom is an understanding, and it is alive, a living Dhamma that can be experienced and understood from moment to moment. whereas knowledge and memories are of the past, very rigid and fixed, making you very rigid in your views.
So this one is a more complete reminder. All this all I've been telling you, the way your traditional way that has been taught is to use the thought to learn the Dhamma as knowledge. So if you do that, then you become gullible. That's what I put here. The second turning, wisdom, which is Cintamaya Panya, is very important. Constant inquiry, constant reflection and contemplation on the Buddha Dhamma, or the Four Noble Truths as taught or proclaimed by him. And not just believing, oh, Four Noble Truths, yeah, I agree, the Buddha said Four Noble Truths. Then what happened? You just memorize the answer. Suffering, cause of suffering, end of suffering, and the path that leads to suffering. Like that, you will never learn the true Dhamma. That this is all knowledge. So here I make it very clear. You are believing what the Buddha say and then committing them to memory. This so-called Dhamma, store up as knowledge. Oh, sorry, I read again. What the Buddha said and then commit them to memory and storing them up, storing this so-called Dhamma up as knowledge. For the true Dhamma and wisdom is an understanding and it is alive, a living Dhamma applicable to life that can be experienced and understood from moment to moment. Whereas knowledge, memory are of the past, rigid and fixed, make you very rigid in your views. So understand this, see this, then develop the correct cultivation through investigation, through inquiry, through contemplation. Assume you don't know anything, find out. Check. Based on your form and mind, check. Awareness, check. That's how you learn. Don't just like the gullible one. The word come out, oh, microphone. You never look at it. You never understood what this thing is. Because people tell you, microphone. So you say, microphone, what is there to see? I know. But do you really know why this is microphone? Did you perceive it fully? Do you truly understand what this thing, which has no name, no concept, become microphone? In English, of course. So all this is what awareness is. Awareness look at things differently. The thought look at things differently. The thought is limited. That's why it is happy with that word and the concept. It never see. Do you understand now? The one that see is the awareness without word, the truly direct see, seeing things as they are. So don't fall into that trap anymore. Okay? Yeah, continue. Anyway.
Part 2, Heart Sutra Lesson 10, Commentary, page 11 to 15. 2.1. What are deviant views? Deviant views mean deviated or wrong and devious views born of delusion that can condition one's suffering and misery. 2.2. What is affliction? Affliction is mental suffering conditioned by one's three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusions. 2.3. The unmoving mind of true suchness. The true mind with the enlightenment factors of samadhi and upekkha or equanimity. 2.4. Why 7 years maximum or 7 days to realize the enlightenment? Four foundations of mindfulness. Question. Why did the Buddha specifically state the duration of 7 years maximum or 7 days to realize the enlightenment of at least an anagami, if one were to maintain these four arousing of mindfulness or satipatthana practices, as taught by him? Brother Teo answers, the four arousing of mindfulness or four foundations of mindfulness as taught by the Buddha is very unique because according to the Buddha, these four arousing of mindfulness is the only way for the purification of beings, for the overcoming of sorrow and lamentation, for the destruction of suffering and grief. for reaching the right path for the realizations of Nibbana. Then the Buddha continued telling the bhikkhus, "Verily, O bhikkhus, should any person maintain these four arousing of mindfulness in this manner for 7 years, for 6 years, until for 2 years, let alone a year, for 7 months, until 2 months, 1 month, half month, or a week, 1 week." Then by him again, one of the two fruitions is proper to be expected. Wisdom or knowledge, here and the now, or if some form of clinging is still present, the state of a non-returner or anagami. This is the assurance given by the Buddha, so it is worthwhile to give it a try, isn't it? Just sacrifice a maximum of 7 years to cultivate the Satipatthana and your future existence, should you choose to come back. It's all set and taken care of. There is no more fear, worry, anxiety, sadness and sufferings, etc. From then onwards, worth the while, isn't it? The other reason is basing on the Abhijja Sutta. Cultivating the four arousings of mindfulness is step 8. And this step can only be effectively cultivated when one had completed the cultivation of step 1 to 7. Especially step 4, Yoniso Manasikara. Five sati sampajanya, or step 5 is sati sampajanya. Step 6, sense restraint, and step number 7 is the three ways of right conduct, where you are assured of realizing at least a sotapanna or a sakadagami. So strive on with heedfulness and do not be heedless anymore. Part 3, meditation. 3.1. Do not just believe what has been spoken, but instead investigate into all of the Dhamma or truth as advised by the Buddha via constant reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into all Dhamma to fully understand the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths as taught by the Buddha. Once you have developed the three types of corresponding wisdom, you will know how to free your mind and later share your understanding with others so that you too can be a blessing to all. As thought is response to memory, so memory is thought-based and is of the past. Hence, when you cultivate based on memory, which is thought and knowledge-based, you cannot possibly realize a state that is beyond thought and beyond time. With knowledge which is not wisdom, you tend to be rigid in your views and you tend to use words, interpret them according to your views and opinion. You will also have the tendency to argue with people and perceive things as right and wrong. 3.2, the four right efforts within the Noble Eightfold Path. 1. First right effort is to abandon the unwholesome actions, speech, and thoughts that have arisen. 2. Second right effort is to prevent the arising of the yet to arise of the yet to arisen unwholesome action, speech, and thought. This needs constant heedfulness or mindfulness and the initial wisdom. 3. Third right effort is to arise the right effort to cultivate the appropriate right action, speech, and thought that are still not in you regularly. 4. Fourth right effort is to continuously arise the right effort to refine upon the wholesomeness that is already in you until they become perfected, as against just to maintain this, as against just to maintain the wholesomeness as stated in most texts. A new chapter 11, Heart Sutta class and meditation class on 29 April 2012. Short notes taken to assist in developing a clearer and better understanding of the sutta discussed. Part 1, recapitulation and emphasis on the previous lesson. True suchness or lu lu putong. Our true mind or essence of mind is always there, true suchness of Lulu Putong in Mandarin. This is the reason why you cannot practice mindfulness or sati, and you cannot try to be mindful, because this is the reason why you cannot practice mindfulness or sati, and you cannot try to be mindful, because the trying and the practicing or noting and doing, etc., are always by the thought. If one does not understand this true principle of the true mind, that is, the essence of mind is already there, and we don't have to do anything to be mindful, because the moment you are silent with inner awareness, you are already naturally mindful and heedful, and you will be able to see things as they are naturally, to understand the truth and the reality arising within the moment. For if we do not stir the mind or cause it to arise the thinking via our heedlessness or conditionings born of wrong views, then our mind will be quiet and silent without thoughts. Then it can be aware of this essence of mind, which is the natural state of silent inner awareness before the knowing. Hence, mindfulness or sati, which is the silent inner awareness, will automatically shine forth from the nature within, because man can only do one thing at a time. Either you are silent and aware within with your nature or essence of mind, or you are lost in thought and is preoccupied with your activities of mind or thinking and reacting, etc. Just like the analogy of the sun. The sun is always there and its rays ever shining, but when the clouds are there, its rays cannot be shine through. Its rays cannot shine through. So similarly, your thoughts, your various emotions and reactions or stirring of the mind are like clouds obscuring your true nature or true mind from shining forth, hence your inability to see things as they are via the direct seeing with your silent and true mind. According to the Sutta on Dependent Origination, as taught by the Buddha, the first three links are avijja, paccaya, sankhara. Then sankhara, paccaya, vijnana, that is, dependent on ignorance arises sankhara, or mental thinking or activities. Then, dependent on sankhara or mental activities, arises mind or mental consciousness or vijnana. This is just a pure consciousness or awareness before knowing, or the perception and labeling, etc. That is, there is no one to see or to perceive, objective seeing. As the true sati is without the observer, there is only an awareness of the phenomenon or the impersonal process of dependence, origination, arising from the pure awareness or the essence of mind, which is the unconditioned and without the thought, which is part of the egoic mind, or as per what the Buddha had often said, in the seeing, there is only the seeing consciousness. And there is no one to see or observe, because they are all conditioned arising naturally and causal phenomena. So this is the true understanding of anatta within the dependent origination teaching, born of right view, hence no more sakkaya ditti or self-delusion. It is delusion that conditions the living beings to cling and grasp onto the five aggregates of form and mind, or the mundane mind. This is the main cause of one's suffering. And because of the first two lines of the dependent origination, avijja paccaya sankhara, every moment of consciousness, you will think and stir the mind because of your ignorance that conditions your habitual tendencies to think the wrong thoughts. And this is how one becomes heedless. So, if there is no wisdom or yoniso manasikara or wise attention at every moment of sense experience, then the mind will be conditioned into craving via the link Vedana Paccaya Tanha, or dependent on feeling, craving comes to be. When there is no wisdom or wise attention at the moment of the sense experience. Part 2, Question and Answers. 2.1, The State of Non-Returner or Anagami. Question 1, Why did the Buddha say, Verily, O Bhikkhu, should anyone, not necessarily a Buddhist, who cultivates these four foundations of mindfulness in this manner for 7 years, then by him, one of the two fruitions is proper to be expected. Sainthood in the here and the now, or if some form of clinging is still yet present, the state of a non-returner or anagami, the third stage of the supramundane enlightenment. And why not at least a sotapanna or a sakadagami is to be expected? Relatives answer, very likely it is because the Buddha knew that the four foundations of mindfulness is such a powerful cultivation that it can lead to at least the realizations of anagami if some form of clinging is yet present. The other reason is, in the four foundations of mindfulness cultivation, it is stated that only after overcoming covetousness and grief one can cultivate the mindfulness of kaya, vedana, citta, and dhamma nupassana, as the sotapanna and sakadagami are still not free from the factors of ill will and sensual desire or covetousness, and they still have to come back to the sensual realm for at least one more life. This is the reason why the Sakadagami is also called a once returner, whereas the Anagami is called a non-returner, one who has no more delusion, but still some form of minor clinging and conceit. The Anagami will be born into the pure abode within the form and Brahma realms. The 10 steps of the Abhijja Sutta is also very clear on this. The four foundations of mindfulness is step 8 of the Abhijja Sutta, to be cultivated only after step 6, sense restraints, and step 7, three ways of right conduct, have been cultivated. 2.2, why the Bodhisattva way of cultivation is not much emphasized. Question 2, why is the Bodhisattva way of cultivation not much emphasized in the Theravada tradition? What is emphasized is mainly the sainthood ways culminating in arahantship. Brother Q answers, the Buddha at that time in Kosambi gathered a handful of leaves in his hand and explained to the bhikkhus then its essential meaning. The Buddha said, even so, monks, many are the things that I have fully realized, but not declared unto you. Few are the things I have declared unto you. And why, monks, have I not declared them? They, monks, are indeed not useful, not conducive, are not essential to the holy life of purity. They do not lead to disenchantment, to dispassion, to detachment, to tranquility, to full understanding, to cessation, to enlightenment, and to nibbana. That's why they are not declared by me. So the Buddha knew during that era the conditions were such that the sainthood way via cultivating the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths is the fastest and the most appropriate, hence the teaching then. The other reason could also be because the Bodhisattva way is so much longer, needs aeons and aeons of cultivation to perfect the 10 paramitas or perfections. And this way is so much more difficult. To be a Bodhisattva, one must have a very great compassion and a very big heart to come back for the living beings. and they have to vow to save the limitless living beings, the supramundane mind, via this great compassion and vows of theirs, must arise to cause them to come back again as bodhisattva to cultivate the perfections. Otherwise, after arahantship, the former mind will cease upon parinibbana, and there will be no more rebirth. Well, still, can I ask one question? See the page 66 on the Buddha said he did not declare the other's teaching is because it is not useful, not conducive, not essential to the holy life of purity, and they do not lead to all those disenchantment, and they not lead to enlightenment and to nirvana.
Okay, very good question. You see, what he has realized are a lot of things that actually what the other, what they call people who are curious would like to know. What is the first thought of ignorance? That condition living being to become what it is today. Then like the beginning of time and all that. He said, forget about all this. Although he can understand, but you don't try to find out why. Because he said, inconceivable is the beginning of the first thought of ignorance that condition, delusion, and cause living into fall. All this he has the understanding. But why do he want to teach? Because this is not for noble truth, noble effort, but it will not lead to enlightenment. But the Bodhisattva way thing that he has realized and he has cultivated and perfected is not included in the sainthood way. You understand? Not? That's why he said, whatever he knows, even the Bodhisattva way, I will say, it is not for you to become enlightened now. It is for the whole process of perfection. Understand? Not? Keep on doing, keep on doing, keep on doing. But it's not for overthrow. So you want to learn that one, I tell you, that life, nobody enlightened. So that's why his focus is, like I explained earlier on, he established the spiritual cultivation like education system. Okay? Of course, the highest education is at university. You can produce graduate, master, PhD. Okay? So you assume that is the Bodhisattva way. Okay? To enter university, you need students, isn't it? So you need to prepare them, isn't it? So who are the ones that can take the Bodhisattva way? The same enlightened being up to Arahant. That if they understand the way, they can make the vow. That's why it must have a great heart. Very, very great compassionate heart. Then this supramundane mind must arise. Otherwise, you cannot go this way. So that you know that there is a nature within that can continue this one. That's why the five stages of Bodhi mind development I explained to you all. Not until you reach the third stage of Bodhi mind development, where you can illuminate that Bodhi, that nature, is that true nature clearly. Then you won't fall. Otherwise, you can still fall. Yeah. So Bodhi mind that has the ability actually take very long time to cultivate. Understand? Even to make the vow, understand? The plant the seed of Bodhi and life after life come back. By the time he teach you this one, there is nobody who can go to university. Well, the time is not enough, understand? Well, that teaching is so extensive. Although the Mahayana say, in the Tusita heaven, he taught them. Then Long Su Pusa, like elephant memory, like Ananda, like that, brought it down. Then somehow he got taught to the Mahayana. So Mahayana have all these sutta. But you read the Mahayana sutta, do you realize one thing or not? It has nothing to do with the Four Noble Truths and the Three Tenets. Hardly mentioned at all. All esoteric ones. Like the Suhankama Sutta, then the Diamond Sutta. So abstract. These are for enlightened beings to go that way. That's why he said, At that time, he cannot tell all those disciples that thing. It's just like if they are still in the primary school or the secondary school before they go to university, you go and tell them about university thing. It's just like the primary school teacher. You go and teach arithmetic. Then the student learn. Then you ask him, what is arithmetic? Or later on maths. Is it addition, subtraction, multiplication, division? Then you look at the boy, hey, there are a lot more things. You go to Form 5, Form 6, add maths, everything, then apply maths. Then you go to university, you got all the very, very advanced maths, even integration, differentiation, all those things at Form 5 or 6. He will look at you, no, my teacher teach me only this. So they cannot understand, because they are not ready. That's why the sainthood way is more important. So he said, what I have realized are like the forest, but they are not conducive for the holy life. That's why it's mentioned that way. Understand? Yeah. And he has to, during that time, prepare all this. And during his time, a lot of his disciples take the bodhisattva way. Then he gave prediction to a lot of them. But we haven't finished the Miao Fa Lian Hsi. Later on, you will see, I think, if I'm not wrong, at least 1,000 with the prediction by Sakyamuni Buddha to be Sapasa Buddha. Means they are all bodhisattva. And some of them, as far as I know, well, one of my guide told me, he said they have been together for very long, even before bodhisattva, as Sakyamuni Buddha becomes Sapasa Buddha, they were cultivating as bodhisattva together. Together. And there are many encounters. So a lot of these things not recorded in the Theravada is why? Because if I'm teaching primary school students, there's no reason for me to go and tell you all those things. So very likely, these are the reasons. Hope it developed better understanding.
Now is
That's why I say it's a good question. You know, people listen to the word, then they panic, not useful, not conducive, not essential for the holy life of beauty. Then why I want to learn? That's why a lot of people say, your sainthood way already very contented, or really happy. Already. So tapan, and now 7 line maximum, I become arahant. So their thinking is all thought-based. Understand? So they use this to be the basis. But to have the condition to go to bodhisattva is actually an affinity and parami. Once you have the affinity and the parami, you will know. No? But this way is so different, no? So extensive, no? So rewarding. No? That's why they will go on. And they don't have to worry about eons and eons. This only the one haven't become, I think, haven't become any of the Arya, they are saved. Then they will quote, like I heard a lot, even this era. I remember during the 80s or 90s, I heard they say, hey, you take the bodhisattva vow. You want to go to the bodhisattva vow. It blocked you, you cannot become arahant. No? You heard of that? No? Yeah? How many of you heard of that? It's crazy, you understand? No? But they say, Achaman, give up the vow, understand? Then become arahant. Otherwise, it blocks you. So people have that type of idea and concept. So you have that type of thought-based thing that doesn't understand, then you will think along that line. That's why you cannot blame them. So that when I heard that, I just keep quiet. I just smile. I said, up to you. If you don't understand, you will say like that. But you understand, you will have an open mind. Understand? Because when you have that delusion or craving to want to be an arahant, this line, what is that? Like Ajahn Chah said, don't try to be an arahant. You cannot have the craving and desire to be an arahant. Arahant is a wisdom that awakens and all the 10 factors severed. Then you become an arahant. It's not a thought that will I want to be an arahant. That's why I want to give up this. When you don't have the awareness based by our understanding, you tend to act and speak in that manner. So it's okay. We are the world is the world. People with that type of understanding or that type of training, conditioning, they are just the way they are. And they will say all this, and which is very common at that time. But nowadays, I don't know why, I didn't hear any of this. A very few that like dare to say negative thing about Mayana. I realize. I don't know about you all. I didn't hear for the last 20 years already. And people have faith in the Mayana Sutta, especially Hasutta. Oh. So things are evolving, becoming different. At that time, Malaysia dominant, very dominated by Theravada teaching. And Theravada teaching, some books even write, nowadays, you can't even find a sutapan. Very rare, is it? You can find one, you're very, very lucky. So that is what they believe in. But they are just the way they are. Understand? So let things be. If you want to argue, you will go the wrong way. You will debate with it. So let things be. Because unless you understand, you can never understand the other way. So there are a lot of things about cultivation that is not taught when you are not ready. It's just like before you are ready with the condition. A lot of things that I understand, I cannot share with you, understand? It's the same. If I share with you all run away. That is one possibility. Otherwise, you all become like lucky panic. Understand what is all this? So you need the timing, understand? The causes and conditions for things to unfold. That's why in the Maya Sutta is mentioned, he taught over 5 periods. Understand? His teaching taught over 5 periods. So that 5 period was recorded in the Maya Sutta. Then the Bodhisattva one was towards the end. Towards the end, the last two, he taught. So once you have the full understanding of the complete teaching, you will have a different understanding of what this cultivation is. Then that time you look back, how to talk to people who are still so far behind. It's just like they are in private school. They tell you no, arithmetic only, addition, subtraction, multiplication, division. How to argue? He said, my teacher says so. But he only learned this, understand? So this is what the possibility of reason why Sakyamuni Buddha at that time mentioned this. So that he shut you off. Totally don't try to find out until you are ready. Understand? It's just like last time I told you, I said, don't try to know. Don't try to do. And so, if you are not ready, you will panic, you will run. So, we are later on, only I can explain, because the knowing is the doing, is by the thought. And you can only understand this when you have mindfulness and awareness. So similarly, the lightning, this is what happened at that time. Okay? Okay.
Thank you, Matthew. 2.3. Second aspect of five aggregates of form and mind. Question 3. Can you elaborate on the second aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind? What your answer? The first aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind is as a human being. As a human being, we have a physical form or body and a mind. The Buddha subdivided the mind into four more aggregates of feeling, perception, activities of mind or sankhara, and consciousness. Since the mind is the knowing element, and anything that the mind knows is the form in the mind. Hence, you also have the five mental aggregates of form and mind within every moment of sense experience or sense door consciousness. This is the second aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind. And the external form enters the mind via the mental aggregates of perception, memory, perception, knowledge, or sanya. Like the external form of a Buddha image, how does this external form enter the mind? Via the seeing consciousness and mental perception via memory, right? This second aspect, which is the five mental aggregates of form and mind that arise and pass away with every moment of sense door consciousness, is the more important one that the Buddha talks about under his dependent origination or 12 links, Paticca Samuppada teaching. The text mostly explains the 12 links using the first aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind, with the 12 link occurring only once over three lifespans, and this type of Paticca Samuppada is of not much use. It explained that dependent on the first link of ignorance or avijja, it conditions karmic volition or sankhara. Then karmic volition conditions rebirth consciousness or vijnana. And dependent on rebirth consciousness, form and mind or nama rupa, the human beings comes to be. Dependent on the human being, the sixth sense basis or salayatana comes to be. To them, this is the only possible logical way of explaining it. Whereas the actual 12 links using the second aspect can also be explained if one understands how our mind functions or operates as taught by the Buddha. According to the Buddha, the dependent origination occurs within every moment of sense door consciousness that is dependent on ignorance, not understanding the truth and wanting to know. It conditions mental volition or activities, mundane perception and thinking, etc. Then, dependent on thinking or mental volition, it creates mental contact that triggers off mental or thought consciousness instead of rebirth consciousness. Because mind is also an organ. Then, dependent on mental or thought consciousness, the content of consciousness will follow to arise the five mental aggregates of form and mind, the second aspect. Then, dependent on this form and mind, there must be these six bases. Hence, the flow of dependent origination as taught by the Buddha, hence the flow of dependent origination as taught by the Buddha. This second aspect of seldom taught because it is very difficult for most cultivators to have the understanding to share unless they themselves have realized the Paticca Samuppada happening within their own form and mind. 2.4. Why my mindfulness could only sustain for a while? Question 4. Why is it that my mindfulness could only sustain for a while and I find it very difficult to cultivate the daily mindfulness when I am working? Brother Teo answered, when you understand what sati or mindfulness is, then you will know how to train your mind to be heedful throughout the day, and daily mindfulness can be developed and stabilized even in the midst of life and work. When I was cultivating about 26 plus years ago, I was working as a civil engineer, and the place I worked, according to my boss and my predecessor, was like a madhouse. I was the head of the maintenance and technical department of the property office, a super skilled post with a staff strength of 800 plus responsible for the overall upkeep, maintenance and development of one main and two branch university campuses. This job comes with a lot of responsibilities and work pressure, yet I was able to develop the cultivation and my daily mindfulness was not a problem. So it all depends on you. And if you are sincere and serious about life, then the cultivation will take off and there will be no problem. You must know how to plan and organize your work well, then you will be able to do it. Like what I did, within a period of 2 to 3 months, the whole madhouse department was transformed, and I was able to settle down to do my cultivation and soon I became quite free after I had managed to standardize into annual contracts most of the essential routine maintenance works. That was the reason why while working, I could still meditate daily. Off and on, can still go for meditation retreats and spiritual trips, etc. with my wife and two children, aged 4 and 6. I follow a very strict daily religious routine and meditate very often. I will meditate early morning when I woke up, before I start work at office, at lunch break, and whenever I had free time, and before I sleep. Even during meetings. Then later, when my daily mindfulness meditation had stabilized, I was able to meditate throughout the day and even into my sleeping moments. Like I hardly sleep and I was fully aware and awake most of the time. 2.5.
Okay, wait. So at least here, they recorded it. Then we make it into this, what they call Hasutta Shadow. I also forgot about this, that I relate to you all during that sharing. And this is very comprehensive. You know? This is what really I do. You know? My cultivation was non-stop. And that time I was at my peak, you know? 34 years old. That's why at the age of 35, 1989, 1 year later, I awakened. So I was doing my cultivation then, before that. I joined that place in 1982, if I'm not wrong. Then by the time 89, I think, then I know what it is. Then I want to come out to test myself. That's why at a age of 35, I resigned from a very comfortable, super skill post and joined the private sector to test myself, to find out whether if I were to work for the private sector, how my mind will become, will it be affected or what? I want to understand. That's why I came out. Then when I come out, I realize this mind that has transformed, that time the Monday mind hasn't collapsed, is very funny. Yeah, the first few days I remember I went to the office, there is a major consulting firm doing all the 5-star project, the big project, because Shangri-La Hotel was by them, Hotel Istana was by them, and I was in this very big consulting firm. And there's a lot of work. Although I'm very experienced, I no need to read out a lot of things, but there's a lot of work. Then the old file, all the new file, all the new project that I just joined, I had to take over. These are not easy to handle. I realize I cannot read, no. I open up the file. The understanding is like the nature tell you. You want to read, you want to suffer, you go ahead and read. Cannot read. Oh. At that time, I hasn't become normal yet. Hasn't reached the ability to develop the kan san yu si san. At that time, my mind just transformed. It went through cessation, and it understood the thing, then the Dhamma are very clear. Then that time, one thing very strange, after I come back, I try to read, then I realize I cannot read. So I have to like slow down. Then, because I am very experienced, I only need the date, no. So I quickly skim through, read the date, then I write down, right? That's why I advise you all during the early days, I remember. After you have the understanding and the transformation, your memory will not be like last time already. You don't try to rely on memory. You have to write down. Otherwise, split second, the thing gone. But when the condition is there, it will surface. Then sometimes you make a note that it will surface. But all this you have to go through. So what happened was, I start to write down in a notebook. Then with this, I attend meeting. No problem. I can handle. But the first 2 days, I remember when I come home, because so much thing to do, you know. I sat down, I was resting. Then I saw, how come the Sankara move again? Then I relax. Yeah, I know how to relax. Then I maintain it. Then I saw the thing. Slow down, slow down, slow. Then it becomes still again. Within 2 minutes or 3 minutes maximum, become quiet and still. Then after that, when I wants to like find out more, how come like that? Then later on, every time I develop a silent mind, I realize this stillness, inner awareness, inner nature is always there. You know? Then that time my meditation, like, there is nothing to do. To meditate is just relax, maintain awareness. That's why the four support I share with you. Then after that, I realize everything falls into place. Then all this continue for quite a while. Because after that, I work for another, I retire at the age of 47. 46 plus actually, before 47. Which means another 11 years now. So in the consultant, I worked for about 6 years anyway. I went there in end of 89. I left in 96. 6 over year or 7 years. Then 96, I joined a listed company where I haven't experienced corporate listed company, I would say. So that is the last career path where I want to go through the whole career path. So 96 until the year 2001, another 5 years, I worked in a listed company, private sector. So that's why I came to know all this. Then I saw all this, how it happened and how I can continue to do my work and live life. Then when my mundane mind collapsed, that transformation allowed me to understand all this. That's why I can fit into life. That's why I came to know the conditioned world is the conditioned world. The unconditioned world has its own set of dhamma. But these two must combine. Then the contemplation develop all the understanding of the form and mind much, much deeper. Because as a bodhisattva, as a cultivator of the way, you have to know all this. Otherwise, you cannot move. Then when I inherit from my spiritual nature, all these things come back. Then very fast, I went through the whole process, like skipping through like that, very fast. Then the mind developed the wisdom and the understanding, like it just go through. People take very long to cultivate, to realize those wisdom, understanding, or those stages of transformation. But this one, like very fast, and it bring you back to the level that you have developed until where you are before you come this life, as this segment of my life, until I realize very fast, I reach back there. After I reach back there, then only I understand what this thing is. That's why after that, I continue to share. And what the Wu Liang Yi Qing is what they call the, I know, No, more important is the Wu Liang Yi Qing, the Chi Ji, Zhen Yan Fa Shi. Oh no, Zhen Yan Fa Shi. Zhen Yan is the Fa Ku San. I saw his book in the bookshop. I take out the book, I flip it open. I say, got such teaching, man. The Wu Liang Yi Qing. Yeah, the first chapter is on virtue. Which you are great beings, Bodhisattva. Then I read, wow, not that one, no. Then later on, when we finish that one, we come to the second part, you remember? The second part, how to teach the Dhamma, preaching of the Dhamma. Then the third part, is the 10 merits. But these 10 merits are merits of the Bodhisattva, not our 10 meritorious action. No. So in the second chapter, or second part, where the proclamation of Dhamma, you remember we shared, you have to have extensive experience. You must go through all these aeons and aeons of birth and death to develop those understanding. That's why the Bodhisattva are very different. So that was the one that when I read and I saw, I recall everything. Yeah, I have done it before. That I realize this life when I come, I have this ability to understand so much things which I never learned this life. Different people come, I know their background. Based on what they tell me or what they describe to me, and how they behave, my nature can know already. But I don't have psychic. I cannot read past that. I cannot do any of all this. But how come I can understand how he become like that? That's why I can advise you very lightly. Yeah, your condition. You have to develop all this under. Yeah, I can explain this to you. Your life. You decide whether you want to follow or you don't want to follow. It's up to you. And most of them follow. They do the repentance, asking for forgiveness. Then after that, they do something like follow the advice of the Buddha, cultivate. But once the problem solved, you don't see them already. Uncle Seyong is one of them. So because of that, this time, the third time he came, I reminded him. I said, is Dr. Jayanta and all these things can help you and clear? You better make sure you don't miss it. Oh, he said, he understood, understood. So a lot of these things, you can see, you can understand. And his affinity with me is very different. Past like that, this like that. He get to know me without knowing who I am. He know I'm very good. He know I'm very good at a lot of things. Technical engineer, he's a contractor. He after Form 5 come out and become contractor. And he came to know me was because they are very sincere, very naive. That time only after Form 5, I already as an engineer working. Then they came and see me. Of course, they are so sincere. Then they talk to me. Then I said, okay, okay. You can tender. You can try. Yeah, but you must be competitive. Otherwise, you cannot. And they're really very competitive. They're from the small town, Batuhat. And they get things very cheap. They get things done very cheap. So they were successful. Then he was very happy. Then he get to know me. Then after that, he buy things. He, like New Year, what he send hamper to me. Then he take me for dinner. He take me for lunch. Then we become, then he consult me on a lot of things. That's how the affinity developed. But he's not interested in Dhamma one until he got problem. But he very good. When he got problem, he know I teach meditation and how to solve it. He come. And every time he come, three times, he recovered. So there are people with that type of condition and affinity. That's why somehow, if you go that Bodhisattva way, you have that nature, you can understand one. That's why the Buddha can teach, teacher of man and God, you understand? Whoever come to him, he can understand. Then he also had the spiritual penetration. As a Sammasambuddha, this comes as a byproduct. That's why he can see the past and all those things. That one is an added advantage. But my nature very funny. I don't want to touch psychic on. So I already know I cannot touch on. Well, when I touch, my wisdom will be affected. That's why this life also I cannot touch. I won't go that way on. And nobody taught me, and yet I know. They teach me all the rising, falling, the vipassana, anapanasati, everything. But I naturally know how to do anapanasati. Then I naturally know how to avoid energy field, focusing, concentration, development. You know that one, I'm not interested on my nature. Somehow from the past on. Then I just investigate, listen. Then wherever there is truth, this nature understands. When it understands, it just like awakens. Then it will have faith in that particular person, or that particular teaching, or that particular sutta. So it depends on your choice. When you go that way, different people have different parameters, different they call it strong attribute. So based on your strong attribute, you can go your way. So some is faith, some is virya. So faith is sada, like Amitabha, the Pure Land and all those things. Right? They don't mind going very long. Then some wisdom way, like Sakyamuni Buddha. So the wisdom way one, they do away with a lot of all those what they call pardon me for saying that because it'd be very good at chanting. I cannot. You don't ask me to chant. You don't ask me to do all those things. I don't have this interest line. I only develop cultivation, wisdom, understanding. Then I do my part. But you ask me to study the sutta, expound the sutta. I cannot. What I will expound and share is based on my understanding and relevant to life. Make it a living reality. Can transform living being and take them across to fulfill my vow. That's it. That's why my chanting, Phúc Lợi Phật, don't ask me to chant. Then even the Papacho, I cannot remember. Understand? But I can appreciate. I have the faith. I understand what that thing is. But I cannot go and develop it one. Understand? Your mind is not to memorize one, not to do repetitive thing one. So all this is the uniqueness of the individual attribute of cultivators, bodhisattvas, great beings, cultivator of the way. But everyone is different. You have to know your strength, your talent, your past, what you have. Then work on that. Then you become very special, very beautiful. Understand? That's why I never force my children to follow me. I say I am an engineer. Don't have to study engineering. You ask my daughter, my son. So they both take IT. Then earlier on, my wife worried. After the Sunday school, secondary school onward, they never attend Sunday school. They never come for Dhamma class. I say, you don't worry. I told my wife, forget about it. She keep on telling me now. Hey, teach them Dhamma. I said, forget about it. The time will come. When the convenience come, it will come. My own children know. But I cannot. If there is no, if she got no interest, she also won't be there. But the condition happened. Then to be, she appear. And she herself also say, suddenly he starts to develop the interest because there were conditions. He followed me for the spiritual trip before the annual retreat. Then he starts to understand what I do. Then after the first retreat, become very different. Then, of course, there were causes and conditions. But she very simple. She's not ambitious one. But she has a good nature, very good nature. Then she can help people. But the only thing is where she wants to choose to live his life, her life, and which direction to go, she still got a choice. She still got a choice. And she can be very good in this if she determines. But she is not the ambitious type one. Want to go into the career field, private sector, reach very high level. She's not like that one. She is very contented with life. Simple, by good nature. How did we arrive at this? Oh, yeah. That part,
Look at
when
the
I
office.
describe how I do my cultivation when I was working, and that job is a very tough job. And I was able to do it. That's why it can be done. Very good. Continue. Difference between forest and city monk.
2.5. Difference between forest and city monk. Question 5. What is the difference between forest and ordinary city monk? But you answered. It is just different terminologies used to describe these two different types of monks. The forest monks are those from the forest traditions, especially those within the outskirts of Thailand, where they still practice the forest tradition as laid down by the Buddha. That is, they cultivate following the Vinaya and the Sutta so as to be worthy of offerings, etc. And also on a daily basis, they go for Pindapata or alms round following the Buddha's tradition. However, the ordinary city monk who stay in the city monasteries or temples do not usually go for Pindapata or alms rounds. And they are usually more scholarly. And since they tend to have more interaction with worldly people, their worldly duties are more, but they also cultivate following the Vinaya and the Sutta. It is a matter of preference or choice, and it is up to the individual. Both types of monks can still cultivate the Buddha Dhamma because they are ordained monks, follow the rules and teachings, the Dhamma Vinaya, as laid down by the Buddha. Part 3, meditation. Email number 4, second turning. How to cultivate this second turning wisdom of cinta maya panya via inquiry, contemplation, and reflection on the truth as proclaimed by the Buddha. 3.1. First noble truth, second turning. The Buddha said, this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. Inquiries. Why did the Buddha say this? It is because the Buddha knew we need to inquire, reflect, and contemplate into the truth he had proclaimed, so that we can truly understand what this first noble truth of dukkha or suffering is. This inquiry can allow us to sincerely reflect, contemplate, and inquire deep into this first noble truth of dukkha, to truly understand what dukkha is before we confront it, so that we can be wary of it. This will also enable us not to be caught in dukkha or suffering via not knowing that we are already suffering. 2. How can I develop the understanding of what dukkha is? One can do it via the above reflection, contemplation, and inquiry into the 5 daily contemplations as recommended by the Buddha, with a very calm and composed mind, filled with sadha, viriya, sati, the first 3 of the 5 spiritual faculties, following what we have done during the sutta class. For details, please refer to the recorded sharing via web link as done by Brother Sui An. 3.2. Second noble truth, second turning. The Buddha said, this cause of the arising of dukkha, which is craving, is to be abandoned. Inquiries. 1. Why did the Buddha say this? That is craving, which is the cause of one's suffering, is to be abandoned. If craving is not abandoned, we will continue to suffer. 2. How can I abandon it? To reflect deeply into the Buddha's 4 right efforts and 5 daily contemplations as advised by the Buddha, followed by the Dhamma on impermanence, suffering, and anatta nature of the 5 aggregates of the form and mind. To use the 4 right efforts and 5 ways as taught by the Buddha to abandon the unwholesome thoughts and the cravings that will condition our unwholesome action, speech, and thought. As we all understand finally, only wisdom frees. So to use the 4th way, which is to trace the origination factor, then retrospectively reverse it to develop the wisdom to free. And this is the best way thus far. This 4th way uses heedfulness to cultivate the mindfulness of the 6 internal and 6 external sense bases via Dhamma Nupassana, mindfulness of Dhamma cultivation, to trace the origination factors leading to the wisdom, thereby enabling one to understand clearly how your mind has been tricked into attachment or clinging and reactive modes via one's delusion, because there is no yoniso manasikara or wise attention at the moment of sense experience. Craving born of delusion is the cause of all attachments and clinging to our 5 aggregates of form and mind that conditions our suffering. To refer to the 18th of March, year 2012, 6th Heart Sutra, Part 3, Question 1, Short Notes for details. 3.3, Third Noble Truth, Second Turning. This cessation of dukkha is to be realized. Inquiries. 1. Why did the Buddha say this? Why is this cessation of dukkha is to be realized? So that one does not have to suffer anymore, because according to the Buddha, suffering need not be, and that this cessation of dukkha can be realized in the here and the now, before one dies. The other reason is, the second turning emphasized here is on the word realization, because the Dhamma or enlightenment is not a knowledge, but a wisdom which is to be realized or awakened to without thought. 2. How can I realize the cessation of dukkha? Realization can only arise after one has trained one's mind to have the initial heedfulness and wisdom after overcoming covetousness and greed, to cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness and the Noble Eightfold Path as taught by the Buddha. 3.4. Fourth Noble Truth, Second Turning. This Noble Eightfold Path that leads to the cessation of dukkha is to be cultivated. Inquiries 1. Why did the Buddha say this? This second turning emphasized is on the word to be cultivated instead of only to be understood as per the first Noble Truth. The reason being, Noble Eightfold Path must be a part of you for you to be able to live it. Hence, understanding alone is not enough. That is, you may understand, but you cannot live it. Inquiries number 2. How can I cultivate it? To contemplate, reflect, and inquire deep into all the Noble Eightfold Path factors to develop the true understanding of what they are as taught by the Buddha. Like for the first path factor of right view, Samadhi, what are the three important right views as taught by the Buddha? They are the law of karma, the four noble truths, and the law of dependent origination. One also needs to train one's mind to be heedful and ever mindful with the right sati and samadhi, to see things as they are, following Dhammapada verse 23, which states that the ever mindful, constantly meditative, and the steadfast one will realize the supreme bond-free Nibbana. 3.5. The third turning is always on the realization and enlightenment path.
Good. Okay. Thank you so much. We can stop here. Then I just want to maybe add on a bit. So under 3.4.2, Romanize number 2, how can I cultivate it? That's why I told you all, the Noble Eightfold Path, you really have to cultivate it. All the path factors is a very big topic, very big deal. Unless you cultivate this and make the Noble Eightfold Path a part of you, the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path factor, unless you have that, you cannot be noble ones. You cannot be an Arya. Understand or not? You don't think you go and meditate, suddenly you insight into phenomena, you awaken already, then of course you Arya. But cannot live life, understand? That type of Arya cannot live life, understand? But when you have the Noble Eightfold Path embodiment, really no suffering. Sometimes those type of Arya, especially first stage, second stage, it's still a problem. Understand? But you only root out the first three factor and accentuate the fourth and fifth factor. It's still got anger on, but accentuated. But the Sotapan still got sensual desire in you. So they haven't gone through. And they still have suffering, like Ananda, weep, when the Buddha wants to realize Parinibbana. He cried, you know. Then he went and tell Anuruddha and the rest. He said, the master told me he is going to go into Parinibbana. He is leaving us. What must we do? He cried, you know, he weep, you know. He is a Sotapan. You know. So just understand that as a Sotapan, Sakadagami, they still have a lot of possibility of not real strong suffering. They still got that like sadness, grief, and all those things. But as an anagami, they still can have restlessness of mind, minor conceit, and a sana. Then they still attach to form and form the jhana. That's why they cannot break free. The last factor is ignorance, abhijja. So even anagami has this slight, very slight weakness, understand? Suddenly their mind can still be restless. There's a restlessness, one other factor. And he cannot understand where his avidya not rooted out. Then the minor conceit. You know the minor concept. He will go and think, huh? Oh, now I anagami. Not easy, you know, anagami. You have to think like that. Huh? You know how long to cultivate. People want to realize anagami not easy. Maybe sotapan easier. Okay. So they still have this very minor concept. They still have this very minor one. Yeah? Yeah. But it's not a sakkaya ditthi, but it's a conceit. Conceit, you know the meaning, huh? Like a little bit proud like that. So they still have all this. Not until you arahant. Once you arahant, no more. Everything rooted out. So this is what the Buddha actually meant when he shared all this. So the sainthood way, there are a lot, but they still have their whatever very minor type of possibility of unhappiness and all those things. But no real strong attachment and dukkha. Yeah, once the Sakkaya Ditthi severed, they understand a lot of things already. The only thing is there are still certain factors they have to deal with. They have not rooted out. That's why they still got to come back, but maximum 7 lives. Then anagami non-returner, you're born in the pure ever and all those things.